Hi, welcome to Bookie, which unlock big ideas from world bestsellers in audio, text, and mind map. Please download Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play. With more features, get your free mind snack now. Today, we will unlock the book Just Kids. In the autumn of 1967, on New York's Washington Square, an elderly couple was watching two young people as they walked past them, the man in a sheepskin waistcoat and wearing strings of beads, and the woman in sandals and a tattered shawl. The old woman felt they must be artists. Her husband shrugged, though, they're just kids. This is a scene described in this book, and the young couple were Robert Mapplethorpe and Patti Smith. In time, one would go on to make a name for himself in the world of photography, while the other would be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, having become a hugely influential female singer. Crowned the godmother of punk, Patti Smith is better known as a musician. But in fact, she has also published several books of poetry and prose, attracting considerable attention in the literary world. The book, Just Kids, written by Patti Smith, is an account of her and Robert Mapplethorpe's relationship. In this book, Patti Smith recalls her journey from her hometown to New York City to pursue her dreams, and her encounter with Mapplethorpe, from lovers to confidants, supporting each other all along the way and facing their struggles together. At the same time, she outlines the transformative era of the 1960s and 1970s, portraying the urban landscape of New York, that new world center for the arts. Once published, the book became one of the best-selling celebrity memoirs of the year, was featured on that year's bestseller lists of media companies such as the New York Times and Publishers Weekly, and won the 2010 National Book Award for being most representative of the New York ethos. So how did Smith and Mapplethorpe set out on their artistic journey? What did they experience in the course of pursuing their dreams? How did their relationship change? And finally, what did they have to go through in fulfilling their dreams? In what follows, we will relate the book story to you in three parts. Part 1, breaking free from the outside world to pursue artistic dreams. Part 2, supporting each other in explorations of art and self. Part 3, becoming best friends and achieving success in their respective fields. Part 1, breaking free from the outside world to pursue artistic dreams. Born in the winter of 1946, Patti Smith was her parents' first child. Her family was not well off, and as a child, she moved several times with her parents, but they did give her a good initiation into the arts. At a young age, Smith was influenced by her mother's love of reading. Books brought her childhood years both delight and solace, and at that time, she already had the desire to write a book. When Smith was 12 years old, her father took the whole family to the Philadelphia Museum of Art, which was Smith's first real exposure to artwork. The experience of this one trip had a great impact on her, as she sensed the power of art and began to yearn to be an artist. Like many young people, by the time she reached high school, Smith was hooked on rock music. Additionally, she was fascinated by the poetry of French poet Arthur Rimbaud, and began to experiment with painting and writing poetry. At the age of 19, Smith attended a teacher training college where her father hoped that a career as a teacher would give her some security, but during this period, Smith was expelled from the college due to an unplanned pregnancy. The following year, Smith gave birth to her child and gave her up for adoption to a couple, while she herself joined a factory as a poorly paid temporary worker. At the factory, Smith, who still dreamed of being an artist, did not fit in with the others and found herself being ostracized by the female workers. Several of her friends who shared her passion had moved to New York to study art, and although she could not afford to attend art school, she decided to leave a place where she saw no hope and, with the only money she had left, purchased a one-way ticket to New York. Smith's first days in New York were particularly difficult, hitting a brick wall with regard to work and with no one willing to offer her a place to live, so penniless as she was, all she could do was to sleep in parks and subways, even in cemeteries, sharing restaurant leftovers with the homeless. Finally, she found a job at a bookshop, where she secretly slept after work. Not having been paid yet, she often went hungry, and once, so as to be able to eat, she accepted an invitation from a male customer. After the meal, the man offered to take her to her flat. At that moment, an overwhelmed Smith caught sight of Robert Mapplethorpe approaching from a distance and asked him for help. Prior to this, Smith and Mapplethorpe had met twice. Once was when Smith had first arrived in New York and had located her friend's place, only to discover that they had moved out. Mapplethorpe, who who lived in the same flat, had led her to her friend's new place, but they did not take her in as she had expected. The second time was at the bookshop where Smith worked, when Mapplethorpe purchased one of Smith's favorite necklaces. And as fate would have it, when Smith was in trouble, Mapplethorpe showed up once more. Faced with Smith's request for help, he readily responded, extracting her from the awkward date by masquerading as her boyfriend. This unexpected event transformed their relationship. Smith spent the rest of the day with Mapplethorpe as they told each other their stories and confided in each other. Robert Mapplethorpe was born the same year as Smith and was the third of six children in his family. Unlike Smith, Mapplethorpe's middle-class family provided him with a secure and carefree childhood. His parents were strict Catholics, and there was little emotional or artistic exchange in their home. Growing up in such an environment, Mapplethorpe formed a habit of suppressing his true feelings, which led to him having to struggle with his inner conflicts for a long time to come. From an early age, Mapplethorpe showed a unique talent for color and painting, and also excelled in creating handmade ornaments, but his parents' expectations of him did not entail him being successful in painting. His mother had hoped for him to become a clergyman, while his father had decided on a career for him in commercial art, once he was old enough. Mapplethorpe, doing his best to please his parents, chose the course his father had arranged for him. When he moved away from his family to attend university in New York, the United States was in the throes of a powerful countercultural movement. The main participants in this movement were young people who were resisting mainstream American cultural and social norms in the form of drugs, rock music, sexual freedom, and communes. Influenced by this atmosphere, Mapplethorpe, too, embarked on a search for his inner self. Eventually, he decided to follow his heart, breaking away from his parents' expectations, to set forth on a path of creating art. Smith and Mapplethorpe, two young people who had left home, who got along well together, and who were attracted to each other, naturally came together and started a life together. They rented a flat near the Pratt Institute of Art and eked out an existence on Smith's bookshop salary and Mapplethorpe's odd jobs, but life was tough. They often had no other choice but to share limited food and to scavenge through rubbish dumps for furniture and materials to use in their work. They had no money to go to the cinema or to concerts, and could sometimes only afford a single entrance ticket to an exhibition, which one of them would attend, and then come back and tell the other about. Although they were impoverished, the hardship of material scarcity was offset by the enthusiasm for art, and by the happiness they gained from spiritual exchange. When there was nowhere for them to go, they would read in their flat and listen to old records over and over again, spending long hours immersed in their work. Once they were together, Mapplethorpe encouraged Smith to formally start painting. Smith would sometimes become mired in self-doubt, but Mapplethorpe had complete faith in both Smith's and his own work. During this period, Smith was guided by Mapplethorpe in her art, while she supported Mapplethorpe in real life, more often than not taking on the responsibility of providing for their family unit. As she came to know Mapplethorpe better, Smith sometimes felt as if he was harboring a secret, and after a while this suspicion was confirmed in two ways. The first lay in Mapplethorpe's work. Apart from painting, Mapplethorpe would also create collages or handmade installations, and his work would vary in style, gradually becoming infused with darker elements. When Smith became increasingly unable to understand Mapplethorpe's work, she felt cut off from his world. Secondly, when they were together, Mapplethorpe had become silent, preoccupied, and unwilling to reveal what was on his mind, leaving Smith no choice but to interpret his estrangement as boredom with herself. Eventually, this led to Smith's decision to split up with Mapplethorpe and move into shared flat with another female friend. In fact, at that time, Mapplethorpe was going through a huge internal conflict regarding his sexual orientation. At a time when people still neither understood nor accepted homosexuality, Mapplethorpe, who had been brought up in conservative Catholic ideology, had resisted his own inclinations, and all of his strangeness was a result of this inner conflict. Faced with Smith's departure, Mapplethorpe was extremely perturbed and attempted to redeem himself, hoping to use his relationship with her to resist the awakening in himself of his sexual orientation. But Smith, who could make neither head nor tail of this, did not reach out to him. After separating from Smith and struggling for a while, Mapplethorpe decided to go to San Francisco's Castro, known as Gay Mecca, to explore his secrets and understand who he really was. Before leaving, he delivered a letter to Smith, in which he told her all his troubles. Reading Mapplethorpe's letter full of anxiety and distorted handwriting, Smith began to understand his inner struggle and pain, and blamed herself for not observing his mental state in time to offer sympathy and understanding. Throughout his time in San Francisco, Mapplethorpe shared his situation in letters he wrote to Smith, and in which he confessed to her all his feelings. Homosexuality was a foreign concept to Smith, and she felt overwhelmed by Mapplethorpe's confession. This frank and open communication was a huge challenge for both of them, and Mapplethorpe needed to explore himself, while Smith needed to explore this uncharted waters. The trip to San Francisco allowed Mapplethorpe to experience a sexual awakening, and he began to follow his heart, freeing himself of the repression of his sexual orientation and embracing his natural instincts. Upon his return to New York, he got together with a boy named Terry, but he remained close to Smith, often taking Terry along with him to see her. Smith struggled to adapt to this new relationship, while at the same time her relationships with other members of the opposite sex developed less than smoothly. The loneliness brought on by this situation led her to conceive of the idea of leaving New York and traveling to Paris. Today we are just sharing limited content. To unlock more key insights of world-class bestseller, please download our app. Just search for Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play. Get your free mind snack now.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.